Good afternoon, everybody who's tuned into today's teleclass. This is one of our UK classes, and we welcome everybody from the UK and from abroad. I'd like to introduce a good friend and colleague of mine, Emma Burnett. She's a lecturer and researcher and is working currently at the University of Dundee. Emma has done a lot of work for our national organisation, the Infection Prevention Society, and chairs our Education and Professional Development Committee. She's going to talk to us today and present some of the work that was a follow-on from her master's work that she did a couple of years ago, and is hoping to develop her educational qualification remit with a PhD shortly, so we're all really excited about that. So what I'd like to do is introduce Emma Burnett, the University of Dundee, and she's going to talk about hand hygiene, what about our patients. Thank you, Emma.
Thanks very much, Maria. That was a nice introduction. But nice to be talking to you today. Just to give you a little bit about my background before we start, I worked in infection prevention and control for 12 years with responsibilities in acute and community settings. For the last 2 years, I've worked as a lecturer and researcher in infection prevention and control, as Maria said, at the Dundee University School of Nursing and Midwifery. This is here where we have our well-developed distant learning MSc Advanced Practice course in infection diseases prevention and control, and we also run our specialist practitioner qualification with a postgrad certificate. As Maria said also, I'm doing currently doing a PhD, and my PhD is around understanding public healthcare workers and media professional risk perceptions about Clostridium difficile. So it's a very exciting research study to be involved in leading on. Now, this presentation today is about a piece of research myself and two of my colleagues undertook a couple of years ago. And as Maria said, it was really a follow-up study from a larger quantitative research study I did for my MSc. I feel really quite passionate about this topic, and it's crucial, a real crucial part in helping to reduce and prevent healthcare-associated infections. So just to give you a brief outline of this presentation, I'm going to look into the background, highlight some of the research aims, I have background twice there, discuss the research design that we used, the study sample, how we collected our data, how we analysed it, and just give you an overview of the findings. And more importantly as well, the impact that it had on clinical practice and further work. So on to the next slide, to the background. As you will all be aware of, it is widely recognised that hand hygiene is the single most important intervention to prevent and control the spread of healthcare-associated infections. Now, within a healthcare setting, as you know, many patients aren't able to independently access hand hygiene facilities due to many reasons, such as restricted mobility or general ill health. Therefore, they do rely on healthcare workers to help them with this activity. Lawrence wrote a paper in 1983 and concluded that this is a task healthcare workers frequently fail to do because they're often too busy. And in actual fact, she argued that some nurses thought that patients actually didn't require to wash our hands. But we do know differently. Patients are frequently found to be colonized with pathogenic microorganisms from, say, both infected, draining wounds, normal intact skin, and they have the potential to act as a reservoir for person-to-person spread. Secondly, as you know, the environment and healthcare equipment is also known to become frequently contaminated, which can subsequently result in contamination of patients' hands following contact. And thirdly, ingestion of microorganisms via contaminated hands has shown to be significant in healthcare-associated infections and common pathogens such as Clostridium difficile, norovirus, etc., can be transmitted to patients' hands by both indirect and direct contact. When starting out this research, it was quite apparent that hand hygiene promotion was continually just mainly focused on healthcare workers. We're not arguing that this shouldn't be the case, but there was a lack of promotion towards patient hand hygiene. And there appears to be a neglect about the potential implications of patients' hands have in the spread of infection. Infection control programs, as you know, have even recruited patients to help improve healthcare workers' hand hygiene practices, but fail to address their own hand hygiene requirements. There are, and as you know, there's an abundance of research, past and current, exploring healthcare workers' hand hygiene practices, looking at attitudes, perceptions, knowledge, and self-reported behaviour and observed behaviour. But when we started looking at the literature review, there was very few research studies that investigated patient hand hygiene. I mentioned Lawrence earlier on, a paper in 1983. She found that out of 20 patients, she did a small study, and out of 20 patients, 60% failed to be provided with the opportunity to decontaminate their hands following the use of a bedpan or commode, and only 10% said they were always given the opportunities to do so. Mayers and King in 2000 found different results, and the majority of their patients, 77%, stated that staff always offered hand washing facilities after using a toilet or a commode. So there's different contrasting evidence there. Now, part of my own dissertation looked at, it was a larger quantitative study, and part of that looked at self-reported behaviour towards patient hand hygiene. And staff reported this behaviour very, very positive, in that they frequently explained to patients the importance of their own hand hygiene practice, and they also said they frequently encouraged patients to decontaminate their hands after visiting the toilet and prior to meals. As we know through research, that self-reported behaviour can be quite different than actual observed behaviour. Excuse me. So the aim of this study was a smaller qualitative study to explore nurses' and patients' perceptions towards patient hand hygiene and determine whether or not patients who required assistance with their hand hygiene were actually encouraged and offered facilities at appropriate time to do so. And this study was funded by the Acute Services Division grant scheme in NHS Tayside. So if we go on to the next slide. And this is just to say that it was myself that was the principal investigator, Dr. Karen Lee, who's a senior lecturer at the University of Dundee School of Nursing and Midwifery, was a co-applicant, and Mrs. Patricia Kidd, who is an infection prevention control nurse with NHS Tayside. So it's a small research group. So on to the next slide, and this just gives you an overview of the research aims. As I said, it was explore perceptions of nurses and patients towards patient hand hygiene, identify and address current clinical practice, and the identification of patients' needs, and look at the current gaps in clinical practice. So on to the next slide, the research design. It was a descriptive mixed methodology study, and we chose three main wards: acute medicine, surgical, and orthopaedic wards. And these wards were selected to enable the inclusion of nurses and patients from three very large specialities with varying dependencies. So we chose observational sessions because we wanted to do the observation element because of the issues with positive self-reporting results from questionnaires. We wanted to compare what the staff actually said about their practice and their perceptions and attitudes, so we did combine that with a questionnaire. But it was also important to speak to patients, hence the reason why we also did patient interviews, and we'll go into that just shortly. So if we go on to the next slide and look at the study sample, obviously it was purposive sampling because we selected our wards and the staff that were involved. For the observations, we were observing all nursing staff. We chose nursing staff because these were predominantly the staff that were providing the hands-on care for the patients. So we looked at all nursing staff caring for patients. Now, these patients had to have a dependency score of between 2 and 5. The dependency score that I'm talking about is used from a patient dependency classification tool, and it's a tool that's used in the NHS, NHS Tayside. Patients are assessed on a daily basis and classified into a score ranging from 1 to 5. And to explain that in its simplest form, basically if they score 2 or more, this indicated that they required some or complete assistance with personal hygiene due to any physical or mental disability. So we didn't want to observe patients that were fully dependent on on their own personal hygiene. We wanted to look at the staff practice and helping patients decontaminate their hands. And we looked in bay areas only because there were 4 main bays in each ward and there were 6 patients in each bay. So this gave us quite a large sample. So we felt that we didn't need to go into single rooms because that would also be quite intrusive and we would have to follow staff within rooms to be able to observe their practice. And it was identified from communication with the senior charge nurses in each ward prior to data collection who the patients were that had these higher dependency scores, so we knew what areas within the bays that we was observed. So once we'd done the observations, and I'll speak about the data collection in the next slide, it was the staff survey questionnaires. And again, all staff that were caring for patients with the dependency score of between 2 and 5 in the bay areas were invited to complete the questionnaires. Following on from the questionnaires, we then interviewed the patients, again those with a dependency score of between 2 and 5, and that had been cared for during the observational sessions from the patients that we observed. And the patients included, the inclusion criteria were that they were English speaking and those were included who were deemed mentally alert enough to understand the questions that we were asking. So we go on to the next slide, to the data collection. Starting with the observations, these were conducted over the course of a few weeks in each ward. Now, different days were used to capture varying levels of activity, and it was always done from 7:30 in the morning till 11 o'clock in the morning, because this was when activity was most busy. People were getting patients up to the toilet, getting them washed, so there was a lot of help with personal hygiene. And the 11 o'clock was just before the lunch trolley came in, so we could see the hand hygiene practice just before the lunch trolley. And at 7:30, we also captured the breakfast meals as well. The observations were conducted by myself and Patricia, who was another member of the research team, and we were both experienced in carrying out observational work within the hospital. And the observational tool used was from NHS Tayside that was used for staff practice observation. That was initially adapted from Bromley Hospital's NHS in 2002. So the aim of the observations was basically to identify patient hand hygiene opportunities arising, in particular, as I said, prior to meal times, after they'd been using the toilet or a commode or a urinal, and to observe whether or not these opportunities were acted on by healthcare workers looking after them. Then, after the observation, immediately after observational sessions, all the nurses were given the opportunity to complete a questionnaire, and it contained 10 structured questions, and those nurses completed those just, as I say, after the observational session. And the questions responses were Likert type responses and 3 open-ended questions. And the purpose of the questionnaire was to explore staff perceptions and indeed their self-reported behaviour towards patient hand hygiene. In order to test the reliability of the question, we tested it on 7 infection control specialists prior to the study and made adjustments accordingly. Then after the questionnaire, we approached patients to do the interviews. So it was semi-structured interviews following the observational sessions and the questionnaire between the researcher and the patients who had been observed in the Bay Area, i.e. those who had required assistance with hand hygiene. The interview schedule consisted of two questions requiring a yes or no answer, five requiring Likert-type response, and three open-ended questions. And this interview schedule was also pre-tested and piloted with five members of the public in order to maximize its reliability and validity. Verbal consent was sought from all senior charge nurses of the selected wards to undertake the observational sessions. Now, the staff questionnaires were completed anonymously, and the consent was if the nurse completed the questionnaire. If they didn't want to take part in the study, then they just didn't complete the questionnaire. And then the questionnaires were placed in a sealed envelope following completion and then collected by the researcher that day. Written consent was provided from all patients who agreed to take part in the study prior to their interview, and all staff and patients who took part in the study were provided with extra verbal information and a detailed written explanation about the study, and the study was granted full ethical approval by Tayside Committee on the Medical Research Ethics Team. So if we have a look at the next slide, and it starts with the results, although I apologise, the first bullet point is the completed questionnaire, but since we did the observational sessions, I'll start with that. So we did six observational sessions, as I said, two in medicine, two in surgery, and two in the orthopaedic wards. Now, during these observational sessions, across these six wards, we identified a total of 75 opportunities when patient hand hygiene was indicated. So this comprised of 43 of these opportunities were prior to meal times, 16 opportunities were following the use of a commode at the bedside, 9 of them was following use of a urinal at the bedside, 4 was after visiting the toilet, and 3 opportunities was following a vomiting activity. So from those 75 opportunities identified, we observed that hand hygiene facilities for patients was offered only one occasion, and that was following use of a commode at a bedside. Not once did we see anybody offer hand hygiene facilities or help somebody decontaminate their hands for the rest of the 74 opportunities. Now, when we looked at the questionnaires, there was a total of possible 46 nurses that could have taken part in the study. 33 nurses agreed. So that was a response rate of 72%, which was very high for questionnaires. Of that, 9% were male, 91 were female. The majority of them were A grades, which is sort of healthcare assistants, nursing assistants, and the rest of them were D and E grades, which is sort of fairly newly qualified staff nurses. Just to give you a summary of what we found in the questionnaires, all nurses, every one of them, said that patient hand hygiene was an extremely important part of preventing healthcare-associated infection, although 15% did state that they didn't think their colleagues perceived patient hand hygiene to be important. Now, of the 33 nurses that took part, 33% of those said that they always encouraged patients to carry out hand hygiene after the toilet and prior to meal times, and 39% that said they often did happen. Only 15% said they were only sometimes encouraged, and only 9% say they were rarely encouraged. When we asked nurses if patients were offered facilities to allow patients to decontaminate their hands, 33% said they always did, and again 36% said they often did, and absolutely no nurses said that they did not encourage patients or offer them facilities. So there was huge contrasting results between the questionnaire, the self-reporting behaviour, and the observed practice. Despite this fairly high perception of patient hand hygiene, only 64% said that they did offer facilities. So nurses are saying, yes, it is important, and we always encourage, but yet only 64% said they actually offered. We know from the observations that that wasn't the case. And 36% said that they didn't offer. And when we asked for the reasons for not offering patients hand hygiene facilities, we got statements back as, I just didn't think to, or I didn't have the time. Some said they don't know, I just don't know. And others thought that they didn't need to wash their hands because it was the nurses that were helping the patient to go to the toilet. So there was fairly contrasting findings there. When we looked at the patient interviews, a total of 22 patients were interviewed out of and agreed to take part in the study out of 23. So that gave us an excellent response rate of 96%, and only one patient declined to take part. We didn't ask the reason why. They were equally distributed in terms of gender, and the mean age of patients was 75. Now, the majority of patients perceived hand hygiene to be a very important part in preventing healthcare-associated infection, 95%. Only one patient actually said that they didn't think it was important. They didn't see what the fuss was around hand hygiene. And it was a gentleman, I remember him very, very well. He said he kept parrots and he had all these dogs and cats. And he said that he could hold his hand up and say he can honestly never remember the last time he washed his hands. I'd actually just handed him my brand new pen to sign the consent form, so needless to say, I just let him keep my pen. Interestingly, 54% of patients said that they thought staff didn't, they didn't think staff viewed patient hand hygiene as important. And only 20% said that, yes, it was obvious that staff thought this was important. Of the 22 patients, 55% of those said that they had actually never been offered hand hygiene facilities for during that current time in hospital. And 86% said they were not offered facilities that morning at all. When we asked them if they were encouraged by staff to decontaminate their hands, most of them said that they were never encouraged or rarely encouraged, and only one patient said they were always encouraged. So again, the patient interviews, similar results with the observations, but very much contrasting results with the staff questionnaires. So then we gave an open-ended question and said, you know, what kind of things can we offer you, or what can we do to increase and enhance your hand hygiene? So if we go on the next slide, this was some things that came up. Hand wipes, patients thought hand wipes on meal trolleys would be good, issued to individual patients or available at every patient bed. This was said quite frequently. Some would like a lot more encouragement and assistance from staff, more accessible facilities, provide patients with hand gels. Some of them thought that we needed to display posters, a bit more posters, and give leaflets to patients on admission. They said that there was lots of leaflets on hand hygiene in general, but none was specific to patients. And some also thought that staff and patient education was required on the importance of hand hygiene. So these were really, really interesting findings. And we knew, obviously, that we'd identified quite a gap in clinical practice, so we needed to act upon it. So on the next slide, for the impact on clinical practice, this just summarised of what we did. We disseminated our findings quite widely throughout the NHS. We disseminated to the infection prevention and control team. We had small seminars with the clinical staff and the nurses that took part in the study to highlight the issues that we'd identified. Senior management of NHS Tayside were absolutely excellent as well. We was invited to present at the senior management group and committee and to discuss possible proposal of how we wanted to take this forward. And I was also lucky enough to present these findings at the National Clinical Governance Conference that year. So from what we did there in terms of education, patient hand hygiene was made much more explicit within our in-house infection prevention and control education, both in clinical practice and within the university undergraduate and postgraduate curriculum. What we also had to do was look at what the patients told us during the interviews. And although we know that physical hand washing is indeed the gold standard, one of the things that we didn't have available to patients was hand wipes. If there was any reason that they couldn't get a basin, they couldn't get to the hand washing sink, then they were very keen on using hand wipes. But as I said, we know that physical hand washing is the gold standard and patient hand wipes shouldn't replace that. But there were instances that we thought patient hand wipes would be good. So following extensive research and costings into patient hand wipes, I managed to source a company that provided individual packets of patient hand wipes. And we were, as I say, given excellent support from senior management, who actually agreed to fund this for the whole of NHS Tayside. So we were given the go-ahead to implement these wipes throughout. Now, these were only to be used for patients who were unable to independently decontaminate their hands, in addition to those who had been diagnosed with having an infection or had had diarrhea. Now, we know that the implementation of any new intervention, regardless of how simple it is, can be fairly problematic and time-consuming if it isn't done effectively. So I used the PDSA cycle, the Quality Improvement Plan, Do, Study, Act cycle, which I'll explain in a little bit more detail shortly, to implement these patient hand wipes. This next slide just gives you, the writing may be too small to read, but it just gives you an idea of a poster I developed about the use of patient hand wipes. Again, you could presume that, well, it's a pack of hand wipes, we know how to use them, but we know in healthcare never to presume anything. So it was important that we made everything explicit. And this gave clear instructions to healthcare staff as to exactly what they should be used for, what they shouldn't be used for, how to dispose them, and how to order more. Now, we were told that if these hand wipes were abused and used willy-nilly or used by staff or used for cleaning, they would be removed. So it's important that we got this right. So we laminated the posters and they were displayed in appropriate areas within the wards. These individual packs consisted of 25 wipes and there was a space on the front of the wipes where staff could actually write the patient's name on. They were single patient use, so they were not to be used between patients. And if the patient went anywhere, for instance, for any investigations, any tests, or transferred to another ward, then the packs would go with them. If we go on to the next slide, and this gives you an overview of the PDSA cycle, I'm sure with the increase in focus that we have on quality improvement methodology and patient safety, you will already know this PDS cycle, especially through IHI. Now, as you know, successful implementation of system change is essential in the provision of safe quality care, and the implementation of improvement projects and sustaining the results, the resulting change can be difficult. But using quality improvement methods enables professionals to make changes in a systematic way, measuring, assessing the effects of change, feeding the information back into the clinical setting, and making adjustments until they are satisfied with the results. Now, many different methodology, quality improvement methodologies are available for exploring adverse events and for implementing new interventions, all of which, as you know, have their respective strengths and limitations. But the key concept to remember is when deciding what one to utilize, is it's the appropriate methodology depending on the questions and the area being addressed. So the PDSA cycle that we use to test and implement the changes sort of guided us to determine whether the change is indeed an improvement. And as many of you know, the PDSA cycle was originally developed by Walter Schuert. He was the pioneering statistician who developed the statistical process control in the Bell laboratories in the US in the 1930s. So the next slide just gives you an overview of how we utilize the PDSA cycle for the implementation of these patient hand wipes. And again, going back to what I said previously, you know, it is a pack of hand wipes. It's a very simple process, but I believe by using the PDSA cycle, it really helped us embed it within clinical practice, and staff knew exactly what they were to be used for. So this is how we addressed it. We chose 5 wards within NHS Tayside of mixed speciality. So we took 1 nurse and 1 patient from each ward. Obviously, the patient, again, had a dependency score between 2 and 5. That nurse issued the patient with the wipes, looked at the poster, knew what they were to be used for, explained it to the patient, and tried it out for 24 hours, and then came back to us. So we did that for 5 wards. It wasn't rocket science. It was quite logical, so it worked. So then we chose 3 nurses and 3 patients to do the same process again. Again, it worked. There was no problems. And 5 nurses and 5 patients. And after this, the 5 nurses and the 5 patients, they knew exactly what they had to do. They knew when to use the wipes. The patients were encouraged to use the wipes before meal times, after going to the toilet or using a commode. So after that, we were quite satisfied the way that we were doing it and what they were to be used for. So then we utilized the rest of the infection prevention control team and did a final spread out of wipes through every single directorate and hospital throughout NHS Tayside. This was both acute hospitals and community hospitals. And what we did, I had a key link with the ward clerk, the ward assistant, that did all the ordering in each ward. So they knew how much to order, and then they did that on a regular basis, and they kept an eye on the supplies. So there was one person in charge, so we didn't have any issues where we ran out or we'd ordered too much. So that satisfied senior management. So once this was in place, if we go on to the next slide, something's still missing, and we readdressed the education to patients for hand hygiene. Now, we saw in the interview, the staff questionnaires, that staff said that they always encouraged and spoke to the patient about their hand hygiene and what they should do, etc. But then when we looked at observations and we interviewed the patients, we knew that was never the case. So we wanted to provide some patients with something they could read on admission, something they could sit in the bed and go through and do that in their own time. So we had a look at the hand hygiene leaflets that we had and decided to form a hand hygiene leaflet specific for patients. So we had a consultant with the infection prevention control team. We wrote down some ideas, drafted down some ideas, and developed a draft leaflet. I then took that leaflet to, on that slide it says Tayside PPG, and what that is the public participation group, where we have a number of members of the public who have a keen interest in infection prevention and control, and they meet with us as a committee. They used to sit in our other committees, so we all always had a patient involvement throughout. So the public patient, the public participant group looked at the leaflets and gave me back comments to make it better, to read better for patients. And we developed a hand hygiene leaflet, which you can see on the next slide. Now, interestingly, this triangle here that says, have you cleaned your hands, that was made into a huge sticky kind of plasticky substance that we put on the floor at the doors of every single ward at the entrance where we keep our alcohol gel. So that aligned with what we were doing there. And the next slide, although the writing's quite small, it obviously folds up into a leaflet, but you can see the general concept of what we were trying to do. So we issued patients with these leaflets on admission, and we also contacted all the surgical orthopedic secretaries, and whenever somebody was coming in for an elective admission, they would be sent out this patient hand hygiene leaflet also. So on our summary slide, just to sort of summarise this research, we found that there was a deficiency in clinical practice in relation to patient hand hygiene. As an infection prevention and control nurse, anecdotal evidence told me that patients weren't being given the opportunity to decontaminate their hands. From the findings of the study, it proved correct that they weren't given the opportunity and they weren't encouraged to do so. So the key strategies were identified in terms of patient wipes, the posters, and the patient hand hygiene leaflet. We used the PDSA cycle to successfully implement the wipes throughout NHS Tayside. As I said, development of the patient hand wipe poster and the leaflet. This was also incorporated in all the staff mandatory infection prevention and control education, and we also linked, because Dr. Karen Lee was part of the research team, it gave us good strong links with the university and the undergraduate school of nursing curriculum. We also audited it 6 months later just to make sure that we were ordering the wipes, they were being used correctly, and they were being disposed of correctly. And then we looked in to do further research on patient hand hygiene. However, that's not been addressed at present because I then moved on. And both the results from the larger quantitative study from my MSc and this study was published in the... My previous study was published in the American Journal of Infection Control, and this study here that we've spoken about today was published in the IPS Journal of Infection Prevention. So I think given the widely disseminated areas of this research, it was disseminated through all the NHS Tayside clinical staff management, as I've just said, through publication and at conference. Again, I've said a couple of times, this was a very, very simple sort of thing to do, but the effects can be phenomenal. And I feel there's a lot of work going on right around this type of thing in these small studies, but we're really bad for not disseminating the information and passing the information to colleagues. They can take this research, then develop further research, or look at what they are doing within the area. So it's really, really important that through work, perseverance, continual feedback, presentations, involvement, the actions taken to enhance patient safety. And it's really, really important that as healthcare professionals, we publish our work, we share with others, regardless of the results. You know, even if there's a negative result from a research study, you can turn that into positive, then people can learn from that, adapt, and take it forward for further research. And that's us at the end slide. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. This is Paul Weber speaking. Those of you who are expecting Maria Banalek, she did have to leave, so I'm taking over. But Emma, that was a tremendous presentation, and I love the idea of empowering the patients to look after their own hand hygiene where they can.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any follow-up studies on how this impacted the nosocomial infection rate?
No, we didn't. We initially looked at that. We looked at sort of when we first started the study, we thought we could look at nosocomial rates within these wards, do the study, and then compare. But there was a lot of other sort of patient safety initiatives going on. The dependency of the patients changed. There was some building works going on. And we found that there was probably too many influential factors that we could then come back and say, you know, this had a direct impact. I wish I'd done it just to sort of have a look to see if there was a reduction, but no, we didn't. We didn't. But it would be certainly very interesting if somebody sort of wanted. I know somebody contacted me and they're quite keen to replicate this study in the area, so it might be worth if I emailed them and suggest that might be something that they could also look at to take it that step further. So,
your study was actually highlighted at a lecture at the Chica Canada Conference a couple of weeks ago in British Columbia in Vancouver.
Right.
So I suspect that several people will be thinking about doing that very thing.
That's wonderful.
Your hand hygiene leaflet that you gave to patients.
Yes.
Is that available in an electronic file that you can share with people? And are you allowed to share that?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. I mean, I've got it saved sort of in a Word document. So, yes, I'm quite happy to share that. That's not a problem. And if, you know, anybody wants to contact me, I'm also more than happy to mail a few in the post. So it looks really, really nice and striking. But, yes, if anybody wants an electronic copy, I'm all for sharing and adapting. And there's no point in reinventing the wheel when so much work has done and, you know, gone into something else. So, yes.
I'm going to invite people to, if they have questions for you, they can send them to me and I can forward the questions on to you. So perhaps if they would like a copy, either electronically or hard copy of that leaflet, they can send that request to me as well. And
okay.
I will forward those on to you.
No problem.
I wanted to acknowledge this teleclass has a corporate sponsor. That's the sponsor of the teleclass, not of the speaker. Deb Group Worldwide, thank you very much to them. Thank you to all of you for your participation with us today. I'm glad you were able to join us. And Emma, thank you again.
My pleasure.
It was a very interesting presentation.
Thank you, Paul.
We'll talk again soon, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.